Revelation 16, verse 17. Revelation 16, 17. And the seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were flashes of lightning, sounds and peals of thunder, and there was a great earthquake such as there had not been since man came to be upon the earth. So great an earthquake was it, and so mighty. The great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Babylon the Great was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of his fierce wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And huge hailstones, about 900 pounds each, came down from heaven upon men, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, because the plague was extremely severe. Lord, you are certainly to be praised for telling us what will be if we persist in rebellion against you. No man can say that they were given a rosy picture if they remained in unbelief. Not from you. Men do that, but Lord, not you. You've not said, as others do, that your wrath is something just to take figuratively without any actual wrath coming. You've not done as many preachers have done and throw hell out the window and say it's not really an issue, or have given sinners hope after death that they might be purged and then go to heaven. Lord, you've done none of that. You've told us the truth. Our problem, of course, Lord, is we have a stubborn, hard, darkened heart that can hear the worst truths and persist in unbelief. So, Lord, it is our prayer that we would not be as that, that we would both in ourselves and in our witness to others be serious and careful about the doctrine of judgment and this final time that is told to us here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I was not even 12 years old. I don't know how old I was. But I sat in a Methodist church in Tryon. It was cleverly named the Tryon Methodist Church. And my mom, although her family went to the Baptist church, where we finally all went, she was enamored with the Methodist church. And so that's where we went. And so I remember a sermon. We didn't go to the sermon. We didn't go. I went to the Sunday school, and that was it, usually. I went to the Sunday service one time, and that's the only time I remember going. I mean, maybe I've gone two or three times. And I remember the illustration that the pastor gave. And he said there was a man who told the Lord he did not have time every day to pray and ask God's blessing, and so he is going to get it done right now in one trip. And he's going to pray and say, "Lord, bless my family, bless my life, provide for our needs, but that's it. I leave it with you. I'm not coming back." And the pastor said this: "God forgets." And I remember that. He's right up there, right over David's head. That's where he was. And he said that. God forgets. Now, I understand he did it for dramatic effect. I don't know that he really believed that God forgot. He was speaking more dramatically, probably. But there are people who believe that he does. At least practically. Because some people, even in actual fact, believe that God is limited in his knowledge. And don't be surprised every little bit when some new doctrine comes along, like, you know, that comes along every once in a while, where people believe God does not know the future, God doesn't know everything, God is limited in some way. Don't ever be surprised. That's the capacity that the human sinful mind has. But some people believe it. But more importantly, people practice it. People practice that God forgets because they have no fear of God. And all the things they do, they don't have any thought that God will ever bring judgment for it. It's similar to practical atheism. Most people are not atheists. Atheism is a minority. But most people are atheists practically. Most people are. It's the man who says in his heart there is no God. That's the atheist. That's the practical atheist. He may not be a theoretical atheist. He may believe in God with all of his heart, know that there's a God out there. But if he acts like there's not a God, then he doesn't believe in God. So a lot of people don't believe God remembers, or God, they do believe God forgets. And one of the main reasons that natural men think God forgets is because we forget. I would ask you how many things you've forgotten this week, but you've forgotten how many things you forgot. We forget. We make in our minds God the way we think we are and the way we want him to be. In my mind, Clint Eastwood hates broccoli. Because that's in my mind. I may find out, I haven't heard him say. He'll call, I think, Thursday. I'll ask him if I think about it. I want to know and hear that John Wayne would not allow broccoli in his house. But maybe they did. People want to think God's going to forget what they do. Because they think that. They're trying to paint God in their own image. But we forget. Humans forget. You could today do something very terrible as a criminal. And people be mad at you today. And after a while, society would change. You may have heard of London Bridge. I think it was stabbing. A couple of people killed. The guy that did that was picked up earlier, was put in prison, and said he should never get out. And so what happened? They let him out. And what happened after that? He killed two people yesterday. He's no longer in this world, but two others aren't. And that's because we forget. You remember when you got into trouble when you were a kid? What'd you do? You knew your parents were upset with you. What was one of the go-to things to do? Well, you talk about cleaning your room. You go clean your room, make it look great. Go out and do yard work. What you're doing is distracting the parents. They're coming home, they're mad, and what do they see you out there doing? Laboring with your hands in the soil, or cleaning up your room, and you're saying, I can't punish this child. Look at him. That's what people think God's going to do. So they throw up a bunch of good works so that he doesn't hurt them later. So people want God to forget. People don't want to repent. They want God to forget. They don't want to change. They want God to change. And what we see in the text today, and when God brings judgment, it is said that Babylon the Great was remembered before God. Let's first of all think of the dynamic of human remembrance. Man forgets. If that pastor, Benson was his name, if he would have said accurately, absolutely accurately, he would have said, man forgets. Because that's what that guy was doing. He was forgetting what his duty was as a created being to serve God, to pray and all that, and to not just leave it to God and go on his own way. We forget. At Thanksgiving on Thursday, I was up there, and we were talking. Every once in a while, we'd talk and say, do you remember this? And you go back and forth, and some of us remember some things, and others don't remember other things. And if we don't keep up with things constantly, we forget. Do you remember what your combination was to your locker in high school? Or in college, we had one. I don't remember what it was. Cindy probably remembers hers. You forget it. How long would it take you if you didn't use your password every day before it was gone? They always have you give a password reminder so you can remember it. If you don't use it all the time, it's gone. Greek was that way. They said, you better use it or lose it over the Christmas break. You got to keep it alive in your mind. And remembering is very hard. We have things to help us with it, but it's very hard. It takes a purpose. It takes an active dealing with facts and keeping fresh with them to remember. And depending on what you forget, it could be serious. A man forgets his wedding anniversary, that's into the serious territory. If he forgets that his wife burnt a meal last year, that's okay. But you can't forget certain things. And forgetting God is the most consequential matter possible to forget. It's when we take God out of our minds. At one time in our minds, we might have had algebra floating around in there. I bet that's gone. We knew a lot about, the English language and certain rules that governed the writing and things of that. And that kind of maybe went away, some of it. Some of the other things that you used to do, you were up on all the time, and now you probably couldn't do them. And when we forget God, what we do is basically we take God, and he's in our minds, but he's not on our minds. He's not focused in our minds. And little by little, if we do not focus on him, then he's gone, and we forget God. That is the worst forgetting. Deuteronomy 8, verse 11, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You'll forget. All your blessings, you'll forget. They'll slip right out of your mind. And your day will go then as though God did not exist. You would have a practical atheism, a practical forgetfulness. Now, the Lord helps us with this. By repeating things. And I think we got repeating in Revelation. Because if you've been keeping up, you've got three groups of seven judgments. I think they are parallel. Some think they are consecutive. It's not the issue right now. But I do believe, it says in this text today, in verse 17, the seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, it is done. It is declared today it's done. But in chapter 11, verse 15, it says, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of God. So that was done. And then in chapter 6, verse 17, the great day of their wrath, the Lamb and the one who sits on the throne, has come. That's the end too. We're getting a parallel presentation of something we just cannot forget, and that is that God's judgment comes. And it comes with spectacular displays, even. Verse 18 of our text. There are flashes of lightning. We've seen this before. Sounds and peals of thunder. Great earthquake, such as there had not been since men came to be upon the earth. So great an earthquake was it, and so mighty. And the great city was split into three parts. And the cities of the nations fell. This is what John saw in his vision. Serious. People aren't worried about this. They're worried about plastic straws. They're not worried about this. But here's how the world ends. Not by burning carbon. It ends by God's judgment. You want to avoid a big earthquake and devastation upon the earth as far as your part in it goes, and get right with God. That is what the scripture teaches. But this is God's grace to us to get us out of that as early as possible. You know, the Bible is very careful to tell us, like in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, and the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Now listen to this. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you are in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. The quick way to say that is whatever you do, everything you do. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Then it shall come about, when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied, then watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery. Oh, I'd never forget that. I would never forget the Lord. The Lord parted the Red Sea. God is on dry ground. I would never forget the Lord. Yeah, like 3 days later. That's the danger. We've been given a precious, precious gift of the knowledge of God. We've got to cling to it, hold on to it as much as we can. And children are mentioned in this passage. Children have to be taught the Bible. You think the school is going to do it? Absolutely not. The school and the society is protecting your children from such things. They think it is harmful to hear the Bible. Now, they're more concerned that your child is given opportunity to choose his gender than to know God. But children are to be taught early. It's right there. Children are to be taught early about correct doctrine and truth. A child will easily be confused if he's not taught the truth. Children must not, God help us, must not be left to phones and movies and books and school or society to teach them what's right and wrong. Do you know who God gave children to teach right and wrong? The parental units. That's who. Your child has no religious freedom. Your child is not given to you to let them lay out there in Neutralville. Your child's given to you to put into them the proper religion, to give them the proper Savior, to talk to them about how they get saved and how there's no other way but that. That's what you're given. They're given to you for. And if you don't do that, kids don't know what to do. We got, I was kind of mentioning this a few weeks ago. We got kids just absolutely scared to death today. Because adults have been talking about how the world's going to be destroyed unless we do something real fast. And you can't, kids can't enjoy their school. They can't enjoy their youth. They can't enjoy play and fun. They're marching on things. They're calling the president names and members of Congress names. And they're telling us we need to do something because their whole future is going to be gone. And that's been put into them not by science but by adults who just are saying this because that's their ideology. And they're scared to death. And we were taught, I was taught, and I think it's still true, I was taught there was no such thing as the boogeyman. Did you girls know that? The boogeyman. And that was because, you know, when I was a kid and the closet door closed, I knew something had to be in there or they wouldn't have closed the door. To keep it in there. So I was told, no, there's no such thing. But now the climate, no, that's a thing. And so they scare them to death another way. Now, what is it about having to scare kids today? Let them have their youth. But especially don't leave your children, their friends and companions to teach them. The most rampant child abuse in the world is not teaching children about God. That's what they need. Other stuff you can put on there too, but that's first. And God commands us to not to forsake our assembling together. God commands us to pray always without ceasing. God commands that we walk with Him daily, keeping the relationship current. That keeps us from forgetting. So what does it mean then when it says in verse 19 that God remembered? That Babylon the Great was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of His fierce wrath. God's memory and ours are different. And we have got to keep those two separate. Humans have two factors that affect memory. Physiology and sin. Our bodies and sin. Physiologically, our bodies over time tend to manifest a loss of memory. Although young people also have that problem. They can't remember things they should. And dementia, Alzheimer's, things like that can pop up. And it's known mostly as for the elderly, although it can happen at any time. And a lot of aids are given. You can take certain things. You go to the mineral store and get some minerals for it. There's all sorts of devices that will help your memory. But that fades away just because we get older. It's one of the things that decays memory. But the other is sin. And the most serious forgetfulness is caused by sin. Because as we are rebels against God, we are inclined to do evil. And therefore we forget to do good. We do not do good. We do not seek God. We naturally incline ourselves to seek that which is evil. If you lose the fear of the Lord, you lose a very central part of the beginning of wisdom. So you're going to be foolish. That is a spiritual problem. When you don't walk with God, your mind becomes evil. And so out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks and you speak evil. That's active forgetting. The other thing you could call passive forgetting. You get older, you can't remember things. And nobody's blaming you for that. But active forgetting is you've been given things to remember and you do not remember them on purpose or through neglect. That's our memory. We refuse to remember, we neglect, we rebel. Or it slips away from us because we're fallen men and women, children. The Lord has no physiology or sin issues with His memory. The Lord is not getting older and His memory fading from Him. He does not have evil and He's not inclined toward evil to where He would just neglect something He should remember. The Lord does not passively forget. When we talk about forgetting, it's often something we didn't mean to do. You ever left toast in the toaster oven and go about doing a few things? And, you know, you come back to two black square pieces of something. Or if you keep something on the stove and forget about it. Yeah, you didn't mean to do that. But you forgot. It's an unintentional loss of memory and the action that memory, retaining that memory, would have prompted. So when you lose your memory, you also lose the action associated with it. If you're going to remember that you've got to be up in the morning, then that remembrance comes with getting up. You remember and you get up. If you forget the first, the other's gone. So, the Lord can't forget in that way. The Lord cannot passively forget as though something escapes his mind. Our minds are fallen, not his. I don't know what it is. But you know, you can forget something, we can. Be going about doing something else and all of a sudden, pop, it pops in your head. What happened? What is that? Your memory is jarred. Oh, maybe you see something. Sometimes you just think it's, oh no. The Lord doesn't have that. So when it says the Lord remembers, it's not that his memory was jarred by something. The Lord remembers actively. The Lord forgets actively. He doesn't lose it. He chooses to act upon it, remembering, or he chooses not to, forgetting. And so, when the Bible says that the Lord will remember our sin and our iniquity no more, it doesn't mean he's forgotten all about the facts and doesn't know what we did. It's that he has chosen to remove it from consideration. He's forgotten it for all practical purposes. If you were to say, Lord, do you remember when I was... He remembers that, but he has no remembrance of it as far as charging you anything from it. It's completely pushed it aside. That's active forgetting. And so also, his remembering is active. It doesn't just come to his mind. He brings it back to the forefront when it's time to act upon it. And that's what we're talking about here. When the Lord remembered Babylon, he brings it back to the forefront. It's now time to deal with it. Now it's time to give them what their sin has brought them to. So the world is coming to that. And this is when Babylon is remembered. When God, the Bible says God remembered Noah when he was in the ark. It didn't mean he'd forgotten him before. Oh, the boat. No, he chose then to stop the rain, to lower the water. He chose to act. God remembered Rachel when she was seeking to be able to have a baby, and he remembered her and she had a baby. It was an active remembrance. God remembered his covenant with the fathers, and remembered his covenant when the Jews were being tormented in Egypt under the rule of the Egyptians, and God remembered his covenant. It means he's chosen at that time to apply it at that moment, bring it to the forefront. So now God is doing that with Babylon. That corrupt, rebellious world system that is godless, is against God, is for immorality, has all the evil and all the corruption that the world contains. And God lets it go year after year, doesn't do anything with it. And now, he remembers it. They've been existing because of the long suffering of an angry God. His fierce wrath is mentioned. He's angry, but he's not done anything about it. It's very dramatically displayed here by the events. Every island fled away, verse 20. Mountains were gone. Huge hailstones were mentioned. It is a serious thing. And this is where God moves. And the issue is that we forget that and think God's going to. And God does not. God remembers actively. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. That's part of us, the Bible telling us that, you know, although you think maybe God's not remembering this, don't be deceived. He's not mocked. 2 Peter 3, verse 3 says, know this first of all, that in the last day, mockers will come with their mocking, following their after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. They forgot. Why? Because it kept on going the same way all that time. And then here, God remembers Babylon. Forgetting is not a means of redemption. Some people think forgetting is a means of redemption. If you forget and leave your child in the back of your car in a hot day, that does not make the child okay because you forgot. It makes him not okay. Forgetting does not excuse forgetfulness. The Bible tells us in this chapter, verse 11, that they didn't repent. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. Their anger was against God. We sinned, and so who are we mad at? God. God's not doing us right. So we're mad at God. Somebody does something wrong today, you get mad at everybody but the person who does something wrong. Somebody shoots up a school, who do you get mad at? Everybody but the guy that shot the school. Something happens to us that's bad, what do people do? Ah, God is not treating me right. God, for God to treat us anyway is mercy and grace after we sin. But their anger was against God. They retained an attitude of entitlement. God made us. He should take care of us. That's why the Bible is very insistent on seeking the Lord while he may be found, calling upon him while he is near. Why you know to look for him. Because a time comes in a spiritually infected memory that we don't even know that we're supposed to look for him anymore. We're all the way down the road then. And sinners foolishly believe God just doesn't know. Psalm 73 says that. They say, how does God know? And is there knowledge of the Most High? Behold, these are the wicked. The wicked don't think God knows. And so they won't repent. They won't glorify and honor God, Romans 1:21. When they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor give thanks. And sinners, all the way to the end of time, are optimistic. They stand before Jesus in Matthew 7, Lord, we're ready to go into heaven. And they were still optimistic, and they had forgotten him a long time ago. And now, after all that forgetting, God forgets. We forget, God forgets. We forget, God forgets. We forget, God forgets. But then God remembers. And until that time comes, people go, oh, God's forgetting. He's not done anything to me. God's forgetting. All these people stand before God. God didn't do anything to us then. God didn't do anything and God was forgetting. And then God remembers. I try to, now when I know I've got to get something, I try to get it right then. If I've got to go into that over there, into that folder and get that down, I better get it right now. Because if I don't get it right now, it will not be gotten. That's a physiological loss of memory, at least. Get it now. Write it down now. Or you'll forget it. And by the way, if you think of Babylon as some monstrous otherworldly thing, every unbeliever is part of Babylon. And when the axe falls, every person who has not come to Christ and been forgiven of their sin, God will remember their sin. And as it says, give her the cup of the wine of his fierce wrath. We're hearing that today. And we're sharing that message today. Before that time comes, before God remembered Babylon. But make no mistake, the time comes soon. Let's pray. Lord, you are good to us to tell us these things. We are bad to you to ignore them. We're very optimistic in thinking that we can wander away from you and someday you'll just forget it all and bring us in. That is the fanciful imagination of a sinful mind. Wouldn't it be better, Lord, for us who take you at your word, remember you, call upon you while you may be found, draw near to you while we can, before the evil days come. That we remember our Creator in the days of our youth, before the evil days come, we say, I have no pleasure in them. When it's far beyond the time we could remember. Help us, Lord, and others that we know. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's take our hymn book.